you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Afternoons on the Score.
No, I've been listening to a lot of Mobb Deep recently.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. We have a report today from Chris Emma as Mark Grody is off from Bears practice at House Hall. That's in an hour. Today's show on the field is brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve.
I'm looking forward to that report with Chris Emma. I'm looking forward to hearing how Caleb Williams was at practice. Danny, I am perhaps never more invested in any Bears training camp in my history of media in this town in terms of wanting to know how this quarterback, this offense is playing against this defense. It feels important. It feels viable. They need to be good right away as an offense. We know this defense is good. And Caleb is going to be asked to get right into it, and he's already shown some improvement. I love this stuff, hearing about how the cadence is better and stronger. That's a great sign in and of itself. It feels like a very worthwhile battle that's happening every freaking day. And I find myself reading these reports of the two-minute drill at the end of their offensive workouts. Like, what happened? Yesterday, he completed a fourth down pass in the two-minute drill to set up a game-winning field goal from Cairo Santos. That was yesterday. Today, it didn't go as well. We'll hear from Chris Emmett in an hour, like you've been saying. But why do you think I'm so interested? Why are Bears fans so interested? Is it's viable, right? This stuff matters.
Well, the matters part, I think it only goes so far because it will only matter if whatever we see in training camp translates to that first game against the Titans.
I don't agree with that.
Because I think it's what it. So I'll address the matters part first, at least how I see it.
Okay.
The matters is like because this is our first time seeing it with Caleb Williams on this team, so it matters because it's all we have now. But if he crushes it in training camp and then throws three picks against the Titans, no one's going to be like, well, he had a great training camp.
Yeah, but maybe it manifests in the second game or the third game or manifests over the course of a season.
Maybe, but sure, of course. But also it could just be a learning curve, and he got better over the course of the season from the reviews and the tape. We're always going to put more of an emphasis on the regular season games. Why I think it's fascinating, I mean, other than just we've never seen a quarterback prospect this highly graded go to a team this good, and that's just true, so the possibilities are endless, is it feels like a fair fight. It reminds me a little bit of 2010 in that way. Good offense, good defense. We haven't seen a lot of that in Bears history. You know, there are very few seasons of good offense in Bears history, like legitimate top five, top 10 offense in Bears history. There's like single digit in my lifetime.
Yeah, this could be a year with a top 15 offense and a top 15 defense.
And last year, just going by scoring, every one of those teams had a winning record. All but one made the playoffs. If you're top half in scoring offense, top half in scoring defense. Those are the good teams.
Hmm.
And so, now there's a ways to go. So ways to go from where they were offensively to top 15, and they have to do it consistently to get there on defense over the course of a full season and do it against good quarterback. They got C.J. Stroud in week two on the road on national TV, but that's what, to me, it feels like a fair fight.
It's interesting.
In training camp. And so, like, the offense has as high of expectations as the defense. Like, if I did a poll question, what unit of the Bears is going to be better in 2024, Bears offense or Bears defense? How do you think that poll comes back?
Probably pretty even. Mostly defense, but 60-40? Pretty even. 60-40 defense, something like that.
Right?
Let's do that.
I think that is a... That split, it being that narrow, and I don't know. We can do it.
That speaks to the attention span of the listeners and of mine.
And it speaks to why it's interesting.
Yeah,
because on a given day, it's like, oh yeah, the offense beat the defense, but we think the defense is good.
Yeah.
Or oh, the defense beat the offense, but we think the offense is good. It means more.
I get you. So I'll absolutely grant that, and you're absolutely right that it does feel fair, and that is exciting. I think just as a pure learning exercise of what this training camp can be, he's got really good skill position players.
Yeah.
He's got a truly competent offensive coordinator. We know that. He's got a really good defense that is invested in him getting smarter too. That is so exciting to me that a guy like Kevin Byard is saying what he said yesterday about we are working to be better. And oh, by the way, this is going to make Caleb better too. Like, it's just every bit of the organization is interested in getting him better because it will raise every part of the organization.
They need him.
They absolutely need him. They need him for right now, not for the future, but for right now. So you got a guy learning with every bit of the organization invested in him learning. That's not always the case.
Well, I said this. It's not always the case.
No, because sometimes you have defense being like, I don't know, they'll figure their own stuff out. Or like, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Or like,
well, okay,
we got to help the kid, but he's probably not even going to start. It's probably not even the guy. I mean, that kind of situation happens all the time.
Sure, that is true, and sometimes it's Kirk Cousins or it's Ryan Tannehill, and it's not about the education or development of a quarterback.
Just helping a guy be healthy and whatever.
But it's not that rare. I mean, teams... Four or five teams every single year invest in a first-round pick quarterback that is supposed to be the future. Sometimes it's supposed to be the present, but they're always trying to develop that guy because, yeah, man, if Kevin Byard's going to win a Super Bowl, it's going to be Caleb Williams. It's going to have to matter.
Needs him to be great.
DJ Moore, he needs him to be great. And Cole Kmet needs him to be great.
And right now, so they all need to train the quarterback instead of like the previous years. Like, hey, how's the quarterback doing? I think he's doing all right. No, I like him. I mean, I think he's doing all right. They're like, well, he's got to be good. He's got to be good right the hell now. That part of it does feel unique as well.
So I got a little bit of pushback from this yesterday, but I don't really get why, other than just ingrained, earned Bears cynicism. And that comes, by the way, from a guy like Bernstein, who, while he can be a Bears meatball, when he puts on these headsets, tends to err on the side of facts and data and rationality. But when I'm reading to him lists of rookie quarterback seasons of the last decade of quarterbacks that were nowhere near the prospect of Caleb that produced at a level that is better than basically any season in Bears history, he's like, well, we've just never seen that here. Okay, but we've watched football. It is possible. So unless you inherently believe that Soldier Field is cursed or the jerseys are cursed, that it can't happen here, we should be open to the possibility of it happening here. Because if it happens here, and this is where I got some pushback yesterday, this team can be a Super Bowl contender. Not a favorite. I'm not saying they are more likely than the Lions or more likely than the Niners or even more likely than the Cowboys or the Packers or the Eagles as it sits right now. But if you take it, if you say, fact one, this is a top 10 defense, and then you say, fact two, this can be a top 15 offense, and then the third one, and I give that team Justin Herbert, or I give that team C.J. Stroud, a top 10 quarterback. Though that's the type of team
that is a contender
that wins playoff games. That wins playoff games. And then if you can win playoff games, I mean, the Texans won a playoff game last year in C.J. Stroud's rookie year, and then they were tied with Baltimore at halftime. the one seed who won 13 games that had the unanimous MVP. So the Texans could have won a Super Bowl. Now, they didn't, obviously. But, I mean, you know, they were in the divisional round of the playoffs, tied at halftime against the one seed in the AFC. That's within a standard deviation or two, a lucky break or two, an injury or two, a turnover or two from playing on Championship Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, though I'm not saying I expect it to happen. I'm not saying that if he falls short of that, it's a failure.
But you're wish casting. Your hope tray.
I'm saying that there is a version of events of this season that has this team winning January football games, plural.
Yeah. No. I think that is true.
And it's not that ridiculous.
It is not that ridiculous. But he needs to. He needs to learn, and he needs to process and get better on the daily. And I think it's fascinating if we just zoom into right now how much this stuff that's going on could impact some of that future, some of those dreams. And that's why I pushed back on the idea that, like, if it doesn't manifest right away, it doesn't mean that he's not learning stuff that's going to manifest later in the year.
He's learning every day, and as the team say it all the time, right? The foundation was laid in training camp. You know, so I mean, that's going to be a theme of Hard Knocks and winning habits. And, you know, Matt Eberflus was talking about chunks of practices. Like, you know, we got 4 days of practice in a row. At the end of that fourth practice, you've got to be better than where you were at the start of the first practice. And then we got a day off. And then there's another chunk of four practices. And then you got to be better at the end of that. You know, and so, like, I'm not minimizing the value of going up against Jalen Johnson and Montez Sweat and the training camp and all of that.
Yeah.
It's just, man, we're not that far away from him playing Will Levis and C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love, and he's got to measure up. That's the job.
Speaking of Montez Sweat and Jordan Love, Jordan Love not going to get on the field until he gets a contract
extension.
Sounds
like dysfunction to me.
Well,
sounds like that organization might have some problems. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. I mean, God, the quarterback's holding out. Diva.
This is the standard, though, when people are upset. It's like Hassan Reddick apparently today made it known that he's not going to show up at Jets camp until he gets a contract extension.
Yeah.
In the great Dan Pompey piece about Montez Sweat from last week, Montez Sweat, you know, it was made clear right there that he told them last year, guys, I'm not getting on the field until we get something worked out. You know, and so there were 4 days in there.
As predicted by a certain radio host, if I recall, that they had to have the extension done before that Sunday.
Yeah, Burnsy had it. Yeah. You're right. No. Oh, no, you
so
mean
that's
you.
That's Montez.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, that is Montez.
Yeah.
So much Montez in that article. My God, so many episodes that could be written based on that article. The fact that his new teammates love him. Wouldn't you? Absolutely. They've embraced him fully, and he has embraced them. He was so upset when Washington traded him. When Washington traded him to the Bears, he was upset. He went into Ron Rivera's office and got upset about it. Because he wanted to be in Atlanta if he was going to be anywhere. But now he loves it here. He said he bought a house in Chicago. He has discovered, in Dan Pompey's words, the decadence of deep dish pizza. He has relished Chicago hot dogs. Yes, in Dan Pompey's words. I use relished as a verb. He's got a locker next to Tremaine Edmonds. Immediately, like, oh, Tremaine's my guy. We got to get Tremaine Edmonds in an episode of That's Montez.
Oh, sure.
So that's Montez.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
You get Tremaine Edmonds, then maybe he could have his own spinoff.
I like that.
Although he doesn't seem like a...
Doesn't seem like a spinoff kind of guy.
A spinoff kind of guy. A sitcom kind of guy. But Montez saying that he's playing more free, not worried about getting hurt. He thought it was going to happen in Washington, but that's not how it played out. And he loves being here. It's just, there's a lot of good stuff in there. But the point that made me think about it was Montez said flat out, you know, he got here and he's like, all right, this is great. I'm not getting on the field until we work out a new deal. And so they worked out a new deal and he played that Sunday and made an impact right away. So when I see Jordan Love say he's not getting on the field until he gets new money, that's how it works these days.
Yeah, Jordan Love, it's disgusting. I hate it. But he played like the MVP of the league the last 9 weeks of the season. Led the league in passer rating, led the league in touchdown to interception ratio. So, you know, he's going to get paid. Now, I don't think he's going to get, I know he won't get the largest guarantee in NFL history. But in terms of an average annual value, yeah, I think he'll be in that $55 million a year range. He probably won't be the first $60 million a year man. I'd be a little surprised at that, but he'll be right there with Burrow and
that's
those
great.
Guys.
That's great. That is great because, look.
Well, it's only great if he's not worth it.
Right. But that's
because if he's worth it, you're happy to pay those quarterbacks that much.
But I hope that it hamstrings them, and then they have to let Rashawn Gary go. You know,
right? But if he's as good as he looked last year, then guys like Romeo Doubs and Reed and Watson just become good because of him.
I have no doubt about that. But that's why I went to the other side of the line. You know,
yeah, sure.
Like I hope Jair Alexander has to go.
They put up 48 in a playoff game. You don't need defense if you're scoring 48 in a playoff
game.
That's
not true, Danny. It's because of one word: complimentary football.
Right.
That's why it's not true.
That's all right. That's right.
No, they look. Not everybody is going to be as good as the Chiefs in building around the pricey quarterback. So I gotta hope that if he's good, they pay him like he's great, and that causes them problems from a team building perspective.
We got some more fun Bears audio to get to in terms of, like, it's funny, it's like before the year everyone on the Cubs was asked about Council. Everyone in every setting is being asked about Caleb because he represents not only excitement and celebrity and all that, but it's, hey, man, if you guys got a franchise quarterback, you could be really good, right? Like that part of it is just it's the big X factor for evaluating this team this year. So we'll get into that coming up. It's Parkins and Spiegel live at Wrigley Field ahead of Cubs and Brewers on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Chris, Mad Dog, Russo.
You guys are the best. The both of you.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'll probably say a good day just to see how he stacks him. I feel like, because for us, that's what it's going to be about. I feel like he's in a place to where he's confident in himself, where he's not going to let a bad day or a bad game or something like affect him too much. I feel like it's more so of how do you continue that momentum, how do you continue to take strides when things are going good. And really just from there, just continue to stack the days or stack the weeks.
Guy Jalen Johnson on Caleb Williams. They're all being asked about him all the time. He is the story of this team because if he's good, this team should be really good.
Yeah, the ceiling gets raised by him being good. They should be decent.
They should be decent.
But him being good would raise things quite a bit. As a football continues to fly around Wrigley Field.
Yeah, we're here at Wrigley, and more and more people are just playing catch with the football. You guys can talk about arm strength and the mechanics and all that.
How it helps you pronate, and it's a heavy ball, and it's like it's good for practice for your throwing arm, all of that. Oh, see, that guy just punted. Who was that?
Yeah. Hey, what does that have to do with
baseball? That's Talkman.
What does baseball have to do with that?
That's the football head. It's the high school quarterback and safety from Fremd getting it done right there.
Well, I'm just saying, they seem excited about training camp being here. That's the vibe I'm getting from all these guys.
Yeah, of course it is. It's the vibe you're taking.
Yeah, no, I'm projecting. I'm leading the witness like you did to Bob Brenly during Hit and Run. Cole Kmet was on with Gojo and Golic and the father and son radio duo there. And, of course, contractually was obligated to talk about Caleb Williams.
Well, I think it's been good so far. You can see his want to learn, which is pretty cool to see. The talent's all there, and you know this kid can play football. And when you see him get to the post-snap stuff, it's pretty special with the scramble and the arm motion, the arm talent, the ability to layer the football. So for him, it's really just going to be about mastering the operation. That's going to be his number one thing. And, you know, learning how to command a huddle, use the cadences as a weapon, you know, all those type of things, and being able to read defenses, recognize fronts, see safety rotation. Those are all things that he's going to have to pick up throughout this training camp period. And, you know, I think he's done a good job so far with it. And he'll just continue to get more and more looks as the preseason goes. So, yeah, I think a lot for his stuff is just going to be that pre-snap and mastering the operation. And from there, I think the sky's the limit.
So that I love hearing, because I don't know if you saw it today, and we'll talk to Chris Emma about it in 30 minutes. Did you see the jump passes?
I did not see the jump passes. So he's Tim Tebow is what you're saying? The Bears have Tim Tebow?
That is not at all what I'm saying.
You sure about that?
He was rolling left and jumping to turn his body kind of like a shortstop in the hole, or, you know, or a second baseman going to his right in the hole and jumping, turning his body and firing back across to first base. And you hear Kmet, like, he's got the ability. And post-snap, it's pretty special. So you can learn the pre-snap stuff as long as you're a smart guy. And he appears to be a smart guy who's a student of the game. You can learn it. But that stuff post-snap, that's what can't be taught. That's the game slows down, eyes in the back of your head, innate ability. You're just out there playing backyard football. Yes, we want him to play in structure, all of those sort of things. But that is the representation of the ceiling.
The dream. That's the dream.
That's Josh Allen.
I know.
That's Rodgers.
I just
that's
want
Mahomes.
I want you to live in what's necessary. What is necessary to win today?
But why are they practicing it?
Wint.
Why are they practicing it?
Because they'll need that too.
Yes.
I know.
Because if they want to win a Super Bowl with this dude on a rookie contract, it would be completely ridiculous to be like, handcuffs your rookie year.
Yeah.
Don't do that stuff.
Not handcuffs.
But so I'm saying that if he's doing it in practice in front of reporters at training camp, that he's doing jump throws and spins and crazy bleep. It's like that's yes.
You know what?
That's what I want.
You know what I really liked in there? I mean, obviously, like all the stuff you're talking about is very exciting, but the verb, Tanny, do you hear the verb that he used in there? Layering the football. Layering. Oh, yeah. So he's layering it means he can throw it on one layer or the next layer or the next layer, just like lofting it in, placing it in there on a particular layer, like a cake. How many layers are we talking about? How many layers are available on the defense? I don't know. Let's ask Dilfer or somebody. We need to ask a quarterback. Ask Will Hewlett how many layers are available. I prefer 7 with my cake. That's for sure. How many football layers are there, Danny?
There's 3 levels of the defense, right?
Okay, but it sounds like there's more than that. And layers, those are levels. Are there layers within the levels?
Cake is layered in 7. Are you thinking about a 7-layer dip, maybe?
Oh, no, I've had a 7-layer cake. When I was younger, there was a bakery in New Jersey that had a 7-layer cake. Mm. I can't be the only one that ever had that as a child. Am I?
I don't know.
Shane, what are the 7 layers in a dip? Go ahead. I'll wait.
Well, wouldn't it be sour cream, cheese, refried beans, onion, ground beef, salsa? Okay. Is that 6?
No, I don't know.
6 and then probably guacamole. I think that would be a 7-layer dip.
That was exactly what was in the cake. I'm talking.
Delicious.
Just
a little raspberry sauce.
Here's the 7-layer cake that I had as a kid. It's just 7 layers of vanilla cake.
So it's just 7 cakes thin cakes stacked on top.
Yeah, it's just 7 thin cakes with a lot of frosting in the middle. It's a complete waste of effort.
Sure.
Now that I'm looking at it, like a 3-layer cake would be fine and would totally get it done.
Texter
says, like one of those king cakes, you know?
Oh,
with a little baby Caleb in there.
Delicious.
Absolutely delicious.
What does the texture say?
Oh, it was a sports point.
It was?
I'm sorry.
Ugh.
No, you're right.
Speaking of
it
sports
points.
It was
a bad instinct by me.
Did you see who was throwing the football to Mike Tauchman? You see who that was? The long hair out there?
Where am I looking?
It was Ben Brown. It was Ben Brown.
Ben Brown can play football, but he can't throw a baseball?
He can't throw a baseball. Because apparently he's working, because when you throw the football, it's a heavier ball, and it must be part of his rehab or his efforts to get his neck, the pinched nerve.
Then why is he practicing extra points right now?
He wasn't. But he was dropping back and doing a fake handoff. It made me wonder whether he played quarterback in high school. A lot of these guys are multi-sport athletes, obviously. And maybe just it was younger than that growing up because I didn't find anything on it. But interesting that a guy...
Or maybe he's just watched football and is mimicking it.
It could be. It could be.
It's a popular sport that most of us have seen.
There's an injured pitcher. There's an injured pitcher who's allowed to throw the football.
Are you trying to start something? Are you trying to start an issue here?
No.
With that? I mean, there's media all over the place.
I did try to start an issue with the morning show, though, already.
What happened?
I started an issue. Shane saw what I did.
What did you do?
What I did was
lashing out recently.
No, I took a picture. Can you see what this is? I took a picture of this down below us just a little while ago. You see what that is?
It looks like council talking to some members of the Brewers.
Yeah, Christian Yelich and one other member of the Brewers is Craig Council yucking it up with Christian Yelich and some other Brewers. And then what do you see over here on the other side of the field? Really just halfway across the field. See some Cubs players still finishing up their workout?
Mm-hmm.
So while the Cubs players are finishing up their workout, there's Council over there yucking it up with the Brewers. Thought I'd send that to Dustin Rhodes just to see what he thought of it.
You can have a friend. Don't rub it in my face.
Craig was there last year, Speaks. Remember, he knows those guys.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
He's probably catching up.
That's right. I sent it to David Haw, too, just because I wanted to see what both those guys thought about it. Sent him that picture. What did Dustin say? Not good.
Not good. But he's got to watch every BP session?
Apparently so. So I'm trying to spark something a little bit on the morning show. You know my dream of making the pick six.
You're trying so hard. But it is good. It's like you want to speak it into existence.
I do.
Right?
I
do. Manifestation. Yeah, you're saying you want to be on the pick six.
So Dustin said no good. No good to Council yucking it up with Yelich and some other Brewers. The Cubs are finishing their workout.
Uh-oh.
David Haw said, if Dustin was hired by AM1000 for more money, I'd still yuck it up with him. There's nothing to see here.
Hey,
so
I think what you're forgetting, Speaks, that's not going to start the problem.
What?
The fact that you didn't include Mully on the text thread is what's going to start the problem.
I don't know if I even have Mully's number.
Or Brandon Fryer.
Well, I'm sorry to Brandon, and I'm sorry to Mully. I have Mully's email.
Hey.
I should have included Mully on that.
First question tomorrow if they lose tonight. Were you surprised to see Craig Council talking with the Brewers pregame?
Were you bothered by that? Is it okay that a manager hangs out with his former players while his team is floundering in advance of the trade deadline?
Good question.
Yeah. Not good.
Not good. That's right. Tanny, you let me know if I make the pick six tomorrow, okay?
We're not making the pick six, Speaks.
What? What do you mean?
It's not going to happen.
We're never going to make the pick six?
I don't think so. I have my doubts.
You think it's
the mocking? How long do we have to do it before we... I think they've made their point clear. We're not going to make the pick six. It's a great question, Danny. It might be the mocking.
It could be the mocking. But we mean well with the mocking.
Yeah, is it mocking or is it drawing attention to the segment for maybe day parts that don't know that segment happened?
That's certainly how I interpret
it. For me, it's mocking.
Oh, okay, there it is.
See, that's not nice.
There it is.
That's not good.
I love the extra
that's
point.
That's not nice.
Oh, see, I don't. I'm anti-extra point. Go for two.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Why don't they ever do a two-point conversion?
They should.
Why don't they do that?
They're afraid.
They should.
Morning Seriously. Show's afraid. Put it out there.
Seriously, go for it. Go for the win. How often do you get down there on the goal line?
Take six, by the way, is when they debate the top six sports stories of the day.
That's
See, there you go.
Excellent question.
Yeah, you're promoting the site. It's an excellent
segment. It's at six.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, every day.
There's no mocking.
Well, no. I'm
from this observer.
From this side of the booth. Well, there was a good exchange earlier today on the morning show. It was Biggs time.
Yeah,
you know he talks football with you.
It's appointment listening every single morning.
I use the rewind feature for it almost every time he's on. And you know, we learned from Flus yesterday that they respect the Olympics. So Biggs and Haw talked about Jonathan Owens going to Paris to watch Simone Biles.
Brad, the Bears will give Jonathan Owens time off to go to Paris to watch his wife Simone Biles.
compete in the Olympics. He'll miss 7 practices and the Hall of Fame game in Canton. And while the Bears can look at that and say, hey, this is a source of pride and this is a great thing and look at how we treat our players, I think it's terrific. I also wonder if they are establishing a precedent that players might take advantage of or try to down the road. What do you think about the decision? And do you think that this could be a slippery slope?
I mean, I guess if some of these players find a bunch of single available Olympic athletes, that it could be a slippery slope.
No, not that. This is a personal event that he's being excused to attend. If you want to argument, there could be other events in people's lives that don't necessarily rise to the level of an Olympic competition.
Rib star opening?
I'm just saying, you don't see this happen all the time. Not every team would do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most teams would do it.
That's incredible.
Oh, that's amazing. David's trying so hard. You know, I just think about Eberflus. We respect Olympics.
We respect Olympics.
Didn't he say that yesterday? We respect Olympics.
Isn't it pretty simple here? Jonathan Owens doesn't matter that much.
Oh, boy. Now you've done it.
They wouldn't let Caleb Williams go to Paris for the Olympics during training camp.
Here come the Jonathan Owens fans.
It's just what it is. Simone Biles is one of the most decorated American athletes at the Olympics.
And he's Mr. Simone Biles.
Yes. And he's a rotational safety and special teamer.
If Tory Taylor's significant other was in the Olympics for Australia, I think it's a no.
Yeah.
To rookie Tory Taylor.
I think to
go with a non-Caleb entity.
I think it's a no to 30i. I think it's a no to Montez Sweat. I think it's a no to DJ Moore. I think it's a no to Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. But
Nate Davis? Sure.
That's what I'm saying. Jonathan Owens wants to go to Paris during training camp? Yeah. But if Simone Biles was worse or Jonathan Owens was better, this wouldn't be happening. This is like a unique formula of greatness on the spousal side.
And irrelevance
on the husband side.
Oh, that's the scale.
It's a unique formula that I, with all due respect to David Haw, Vegas Haw, I do not believe can be repeated or is likely to be repeated.
Well, what if like Coleman Shelton went up to Flus today and said, Matt, I too would like to go watch Simone Biles in the Olympics.
No, they would say no because he's not married to her. But if he was like, if Coleman Shelton was like, I'm engaged to Katie Ledecky, they'd be like, go watch her swim.
Breaking news on the story.
Like, go watch her swim. Congratulations.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
We respect the Olympics.
No, he didn't say the Olympics. He didn't put the article in there.
A healthy respect for the Olympics.
Yes.
They just respect all kinds of Olympics. Not even just the Olympics.
Because we respect the Olympics.
They respect Olympics. Olympics of the mind, Special Olympics.
They respect all Olympics.
All Olympics are diners, Greek diners all over the country. The Olympic diner. I mean, it's amazing. It's phenomenal.
God, we need games to actually start our baseball teams to be good. Either one be totally fine.
I'm not upset about it. I'm more with Team Biggs on that exchange. But I think you're right about the scale. The scale is interesting to me.
It's a formula.
How irrelevant can the player be? You know, Coleman Shelton, I don't think is allowed to go if his wife Derek Shelton, the Pirates manager,
is the wife a seventh place sprinter who just qualified, or is you know the wife going to win 3 gold medals in the pool?
So it's got to be Olympic excellence and importance with team relevance.
Yes,
that's the
it's
formula.
Flus won't say it. He'll just respect Olympics. Mm-hmm. But I will walk out on that ledge and say it. Jonathan Owens is not good enough to be missed at training camp, and Simone Biles is awesome, so she deserves to have the full support of her
core, her support group, yes, to bring Olympic glory to America.
Yeah.
So that Flus is just supporting America more so than his secondary and special teams,
yes,
unit.
Yes, I think that's true. And he respects Olympics.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
Of all kinds.
It's very simple. We got a Bears report in less than 20 minutes. We're live at Wrigley. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Hey everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
Go USA.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
Get the man who died, who gave that right to me.
Go USA.
Go USA. We agree, Fliss.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's who I'm rooting for, these Olympics. I'm just going to come out and say it.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm going to come out and say it.
Whoa.
It's true.
Front runner.
Yeah. I'm all Team America.
You're a bad... F yeah. You are a bandwagon jumper when it comes to the Olympics. And we were just talking about off the air. I dig the Olympics. There are certain sports that I never ever get to watch except in the Olympics.
Almost all of them.
Well, a lot of them. Team handball is an incredible sport.
Other than basketball, what Olympic sports are you watching outside of the Olympics?
Outside of the Olympics?
Yeah, because I would say it's all of them only during the Olympics. I don't think you're watching track and field or swimming or gymnastics or handball.
I watch a lot of archery. I couldn't even get it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't even get it out.
Yeah. What do you mean most of them? No, it's all but one.
Danny, weren't you saying on Colin Hurd's show that you thought that Simone Biles was way better than Carrie Strug?
Yeah, famously. Yeah, I had that hot take. Absolutely.
Yeah. Danny, do you think the Olympic team heard what you said and they thought they could back off a little bit and that's why it was so close with South Sudan and Germany?
Oh, that's interesting.
I think they could have...
That I was that influential, that went that viral on the algorithms.
I mean, you've seen how talking or searching things affects your algorithm. If we're talking about LeBron on Instagram as a member of the USA basketball team, you're telling me that take, that video, doesn't make it to his algorithm?
No, I think he probably saw it.
He did.
Yeah, LeBron knows who I am.
Yeah.
If that's what you want me to say, I'll say it.
I think they're backing off because of what you said.
Interesting. Well, thank you.
Danny's mushing Team USA. Is that where we are?
Hey, they've still won. Yeah. They're keeping it interesting.
Oh, they're keeping it interesting. I didn't realize, as we were like half watching the other day, or really one quarter watching, we were doing a radio show, LeBron scored the last 11 games, 11 points, I should say.
Yeah, he closed.
Of that game.
Yeah, he closed out.
Like, he really closed out.
Yeah.
We're going to need the old man to do it.
He did some cool, just drove and barreled through people, and it's physical. And then
that freight train thing that he does.
Yeah. And then he got there, and he's just like pump faking, but just jumped and did the lay-in.
I mean, like the comp that I heard years ago for LeBron that I've never gotten out of my head for those things like that is like combination of Magic Johnson and Karl Malone.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very...
And look at that. Yeah, point guard. Interesting. And oh, by the way, he's bigger and stronger than most power forwards.
Yeah. But to the Olympics, though, I don't watch any of these events outside of it. But they do such a good job on TV that if you commit the time to watch, it's very simple. Like, event starts. This is this person's first Olympics. This is their last Olympics.
Yeah,
this
backstory.
This country has never been represented in this event before. They give you the human interest story, and then the race happens, and then it is the greatest moment of all of these people's lives, right? A life of running, a life of jumping, a life of swimming, a life of tumbling.
A life of tumbling.
Whatever it is. And it all builds to this moment.
Is this Owen you're talking about?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. But, you know, like, the stakes are just different than you watch an NBA game or a football game or a baseball game. It's once every four years.
They've been training their whole lives, and here's your one chance to do it.
And they might not, by the time the next Olympics comes around, they might be too old.
Sure. And this time, like, oh, I slipped. That's too bad.
My whole life.
My entire life of training. Yeah, like all these decades of my parents taking me around. And I slipped. Oh, yeah, man. That's why, like, when Mary Decker Slaney Tabb, whatever her name was at the time.
What?
Mary Decker Tabb or Mary Decker Slaney? Mary Decker. When she got tripped by Zola Budd. I know, I'm old. But when Zola Budd, who ran with no shoes or socks on, tripped Mary Decker and she's, like, weeping there in the inner...
It was entertaining. The weeping.
It was horrifying.
No, it was compelling.
It was horrifying. It was compelling. It's like, oh, her Olympics are ruined. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't get another chance for 4 years. It can be very rough.
If at all.
Yeah.
But no, that's why it's awesome TV.
Yeah. It is.
I don't really seek it out. I almost always get there by accident unless there is a phenomenon like Michael Phelps or something like that.
Yes, you wait for something to capture the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I'm a follower, not a leader when it comes to the Olympics.
Oh, and everything else.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, this is the thing that's happening? Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I seek out the team handball because I think it's cool. I genuinely do. And then I seek out the sprinting. There's something about the 100 and the 200 and the 400 too, but there's more pacing in that one time fully around the track. I feel like the 200, and obviously there's pacing in the 200, but it's like, all right, how fast can you go? I'm going to start here and end over there, and all I'm doing is running fast. And
yeah.
it's a race against history. And
it's the purest event. 100 meter dash, purest event.
Human evolution. What do you got? Like, are we getting better as a species? And
yes.
The answer is yes.
At that. We're getting worse at other things.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Want to do that after the Chris Emma report?
I'd rather not.
All right, we'll talk about something uplifting like the Cubs.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that too.
How was Caleb today? Who are we hearing from? Full Bears Report with Chris Emma next on The Score.
Hey everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're having a little fun.
Go USA.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
Get the man who died, who gave that right to me.
Go USA.
Go USA. We agree, Fliss.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's
man.
Who I'm rooting for, these Olympics. I'm just going to come out and say it. Yeah, I'm going to come out and say it.
Whoa.
It's true.
Front runner.
Yeah. I'm all Team America.
You're a bad... F yeah. You are a bandwagon jumper when it comes to the Olympics. We were just talking about off the air. I dig the Olympics. There are certain sports that I never, ever get to watch except in the Olympics.
Almost all of them.
Well, a lot of them. Team handball is an incredible sport.
Other than basketball, what Olympic sports are you watching outside of the Olympics?
Outside of the Olympics?
Yeah, because I would say it's all of them only during the Olympics. I don't think you're watching track and field or swimming or gymnastics or handball.
I watch a lot of archery. I couldn't even get it out.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get it out,
yeah,
folks.
What do you mean most of them? No, it's all but one.
Danny, weren't you saying on Colin Hurd's show that you thought that Simone Biles was way better than Kerry Strug?
Yeah, famously. Yeah, I had that hot take. Absolutely.
Yeah. Danny, do you think the Olympic team heard what you said and they thought they could back off a little bit and that's why it was so close with South Sudan and Germany?
Oh, that's interesting.
I think they could have...
That I was that influential, that went that viral on the algorithms.
I mean, you've seen how talking or searching things affects your algorithm. If we're talking about LeBron on Instagram as a member of the USA basketball team, you're telling me that take, that video, doesn't make it to his algorithm?
No, I think he probably saw it.
He did.
Yeah, LeBron knows who I am.
Yeah.
If that's what you want me to say, I'll say it.
I think they're backing off because of what you said.
Interesting. Well, thank you.
Danny's mushing Team USA. Is that where we are?
Hey, they've still won. Yeah. They're keeping it interesting.
Oh, they're keeping it interesting. I didn't realize, as we were like half watching the other day, or really one quarter watching, we were doing a radio show, LeBron scored the last 11 games, 11 points, I should say.
Yeah, he closed.
Of that game.
Yeah, he closed out.
Like, he really closed out.
Yeah.
We're going to need the old man to do it.
He did some cool, just drove and barreled through people, and it's physical. And then
that freight train thing that he does.
Yeah. And then he got there, and he's just like pump faking, but just jumped and did the lay-in. Yeah.
I mean, like the comp that I heard years ago for LeBron that I've never gotten out of my head for those things like that is like combination of Magic Johnson and Karl Malone.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very.
And look at that. Yeah, point guard, interesting. And oh, by the way, he's bigger and stronger than most power forwards.
Yeah, but to the Olympics though. I don't watch any of these events outside of it, but they do such a good job on TV that if you commit the time to watch, it's very simple. Like, event starts. This is this person's first Olympics. This is their last Olympics.
Yeah,
this
backstory.
This country has never been represented in this event before. You know, whatever. They give you the human interest story, and then the race happens, and then it is the greatest moment of all of these people's lives, right? A life of running, a life of jumping, a life of swimming, a life of tumbling.
A life of tumbling.
Whatever it is. And it all builds to this moment.
Is this Owen you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, it's pretty similar. But, you know, like, it's the stakes are just different than you watch an NBA game or a football game or a baseball game. It's once every four years.
They've been training their whole lives, and here's your one chance to do it.
And they might not, by the time the next Olympics comes around, they might be too old.
Sure. And this time, like, oh, I slipped. That's too bad.
That hit my whole life.
My entire life of training. Yeah, like all these decades of my parents taking me around. And I slipped. Oh, yeah, man. That's why, like, when Mary Decker Slaney Tab, whatever her name was at the time.
What?
Mary Decker Tab or Mary Decker Slaney? Mary Decker. When she got tripped by Zola Budd. I know, I'm old. But when Zola Budd, who ran with no shoes or socks on, tripped Mary Decker and she's, like, weeping there in the inner...
It was entertaining. It was the weeping.
It was horrifying. It was horrifying. It was compelling. It's like, oh, her Olympics are ruined. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't get another chance for 4 years. It can be very rough.
If at all.
Yeah.
But no, that's why it's awesome TV.
Yeah. It is.
I don't really seek it out. I almost always get there by accident unless there is a phenomenon like Michael Phelps or something like that.
Yes, you wait for something to capture the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I'm a follower, not a leader when it comes to the Olympics.
Oh, and everything else.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, this is the thing that's happening? Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I seek out the team handball because I think it's cool. I genuinely do. And then I seek out the sprinting. There's something about the 100 and the 200. And the 400, too, but there's more pacing in that one time fully around the track. I feel like the 200, obviously there's pacing in the 200, but it's like, all right, how fast can you go? I'm going to start here and end over there, and all I'm doing is running fast. And
yeah.
It's a race against history. And
it's the purest event. 100-meter dash, purest event.
Human evolution. What do you got? Like, are we getting better as a species? And
yes.
The answer is yes.
At that. We're getting worse at other things.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Want to do that after the Chris Emma report?
I'd rather not.
All right, we'll talk about something uplifting like the Cubs.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that, too.
How was Caleb today? Who are we hearing from? Full Bears Report with Chris Emma next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.